Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. You know, as we live this life, sometimes things come our way that are hard, that are sorrowful, that hurt so bad. And you know, we know that God is in control of everything. Amen? So when those things come, God either does it or allows it. He either does it or allows it. If you are a Christian. If you are a Christian. And you know, that's hard for us to understand. This morning I talked about the wrath of God. And I tried to show you as little as I could in that length of time what terrible things are coming upon the earth. And I also told you that they were coming because Jesus himself breaks those seals. It's the wrath of God, and it's coming from him. And we look at all the terrible things that are happening, and we ask ourselves, how can this be? How can God be doing this? How can God be allowing and doing these terrible things on the earth? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Because, folks, we got to remember that our God is right. Our God is good. He is good. And what we need to do when those bad times come our way, I'm not talking about tribulation, I'm talking about the troubles and trials of this that we go through. When those things come, we need to trust God. We just need to, as we sang about, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's what we have to do. The title of my message tonight is God's Wrath is Right. God's wrath is right. Look with me in Genesis 18. Let me give you just a little bit of background. God, Jesus himself, has come to Abraham. And he's told Abraham that he's going to destroy. His wrath is going to fall on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, beloved, is pleading with God to spare the cities. And I want you to listen to what he says in verse 23 through 25. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. God, we give you all glory. Father, I ask you to just take control right now. Take control, Lord, of my mind, my mouth. May thy Holy Spirit, Father, fill me. And God, help me. Because, Lord, I so want to be a blessing to people. I know, God, that we've got some here tonight, Lord, who are going through hard, difficult times. And I pray, Father, to be a blessing to them. I pray, God, that, Lord, you would lead us, guide us and direct us. And God, we would see and understand that no matter how things may seem, thou art good, thou art right in all that you do and all that you allow. And God, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the phrase, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And beloved, the answer, of course, is yes. God will always, always do right. So why then, beloved, do people often question what God does or what God allows? This morning, we talked about the wrath of God that's coming upon the earth. And we looked, beloved, at the beginning, just the beginning of the terrible things that are going to happen in that period called the tribulation. And we saw how God's wrath, beloved, will begin to be poured out on a Christ-rejected world. Folks, this is exactly what Abraham referred to when he spoke to God and he said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth?" He was referring, beloved, to that time when God would judge this earth. That time, beloved, called the tribulation that was coming. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? In other words, when you judge this world, Lord, should you not do right? And the answer is yes. He will always, always do right. Always. So why do people question God about things that come in their lives? Why do they question God about, beloved, the tribulation? Why do some think, beloved, that God is cruel to allow such things as we talked about this morning? Why, beloved, do some say, no, that's out of character for Jesus. Jesus is loving. Jesus is kind. Jesus is compassionate. He never allow such things or do such things to come upon the earth. Others say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. Tear the book of Revelation out of the Bible. That's not the God I know. Listen to me. It better be the God you know, because he's coming with wrath and judgment against those who don't know him. Who don't know him. Folks, God here, God has never hid the fact that he is a God of wrath against sin. He's never hid the fact, beloved, that he will certainly judge sin. We see it all through the Bible. We see it right here in Genesis when Abraham is talking about the judge of all the earth. And even, beloved, the lowly Jesus warned us about judgment and hell. He talked about that more than he talked about heaven. And I'm going to say something here. And I hope nobody takes it wrong. But beloved, this false, lovey-dovey Christianity that we hear today on every side is destroying the church. It's destroying it. How many of y'all ever heard of a man named Alistair Begg? B-E-G-G, Begg. Alistair Begg. Alistair Begg is a Christian author, a Christian writer who goes to many of these conferences and preaches and teaches. He's got a radio program. And about a week ago, a grandmother called him. And she said something like this. She said, "I've got a grandson, and he is in a homosexual relationship. And they're getting married." She said, "What should I do? Should I go to my grandson's wedding?" And Alistair Begg, who has been looked up to, he said this. He said, "Go to your grandson's wedding. Buy him a gift." He said, this is what he said. He said, your act of love might influence them for Christ." Folks, listen to me. Condoning and supporting sin is not love. If you love somebody, beloved, you point out their sin. You point them to Christ and you pray for them. Gee, not you don't condone what they're doing. You don't condone their sin. Jesus loved that woman that was caught in adultery. He loved her, but he did not condone her sin. He said, go and sin no more. Well, that's not what Alistair Begg said. Yet so-called Christians, beloved, are saying, that's wrong. Or excuse me, that's right. That's right. But I'm telling you, the man is catching a lot of flack from Bible-believing Christians about this. So-called Christians are saying, God is love. Jesus is compassionate. So he would never, never send his wrath upon the world in the tribulation. Well, tonight, very quickly, I'm going to show you that God, beloved, God's wrath, God's judgment in the tribulation is right. And it is good. It is good. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right. First, the wrath of God, beloved, in the tribulation is right because it is, beloved, what men desire. It's what they desire. Folks, man has desired to be free from God since the fall, since they fell into sin. That's what the tribulation is. It's God removing his influence and allowing man, beloved, to have his own way. In other words, Satan, beloved, told Eve, he said, do this, take of that tree, and you will be as gods. Gods. Beloved, the tribulation is God allowing man to do just that. To make man their God. Their God. Folks, that's what man did before the flood. They pushed God away and they followed, beloved, their conscience till, beloved, the thoughts of their heart, all the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. That's what happened after the flood, beloved. They rebelled against God and they built a city and they said, let's make a name for ourselves. They wanted to be God, and they built a tower, beloved, to reach unto heaven. That's what they did after the Tower of Babel. They split into nations. Beloved, they made themselves idols that they could control, and they lost, beloved, the knowledge of the one true living God. You see, it was all about man being his own God. Jump forward, beloved, to the 1800s. Man came up with the foolishness of evolution. And what evolution simply says is God is a liar. That's what it says. You can't get away from that. It says, beloved, that God did not create us in his image. It says that we are just highly evolved animals. So do what you want as the animals do. Act the way you want, the way the animals do. And be free from God. Be free from God. So we get, beloved, to the 20th century. And humanism comes on the scene, beloved, in a great, mighty way. Humanism says there is no God. Man is his own God. So they cast God's word aside. They cast Jesus aside. And they say, we will save ourselves. We will save ourselves. We'll do it through science and technology. And I could park right here and preach all night long, but I won't do that. And all of them, beloved, through 6,000 years of human history, God has continually reached out in love to rebellious man. He's reached out by his prophets. He reached out by his word. He reached out by his own son, beloved. He came offering grace. And man, beloved, to this day rejects God rejects his love. They said about Jesus, beloved, the same thing that Israel said about the Lord. We will not have this man to reign over us. Folks, they don't understand. They don't understand that without God, they have nothing. Without God, beloved, man is nothing. God, beloved, is life. Without him, there is no life. God, beloved, is a comfort. Without him, there is no comfort. God, beloved, is good. Without him, there is no goodness. God is mercy. Without him, there is no mercy. God is love. Without him, there is no love. So the Lord says, I've told them this. I've told them. But they won't believe me. They won't listen. So I'll have to show them. I'll give them what they desire. I will draw back and allow them to be their own God. I'll allow them to worship a man, Antichrist. I'll allow them to follow their own devices. Man will be in control, beloved, or for 7 years, and I'll let them see what the world is without God. I'll let them see the destruction. I'll let them see the sorrow. I'll let them see the want. I'll let them see the hurt and the pain. I'll let them see the death that it brings when God is not there. Folks, that is the tribulation. That is the wrath of God. Folks, it is good and right that God judges so. It's good and right. Because during the tribulation, many beloved will see from every kindred, tongue, and nation. And beloved, through this terrible thing that's happening, beloved, they will get saved. They will receive Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They will be saved. I don't believe, beloved, these people in the tribulation would have ever gotten saved if it had not been for God's, if it wasn't for God's wrath falling on this earth. I don't think, beloved, they would have ever realized the weakness and the folly of man, beloved, without the tribulation happening. It is good. It is right. God's wrath to fall, beloved, and God gives sinful man what they desire. The wrath of God is good. The tribulation is good. And it's right because it is just. It is just. In other words, not only will the world get what they desire, beloved, they will get what they deserve. What they deserve. And I say this with a broken heart. You know, people love justice. We love justice unless, beloved, it's going against us, right? I mean, if somebody breaks in your house, you want them to pay for what they did, amen? Somebody steals your car, you want them to pay for what they did. Somebody, beloved, beats you up, you want them to pay for what they did. We call that justice. But if you're the one that steals the car, or if you're the one that breaks into the house, or you're the one that beats somebody, you don't want justice then. We don't want justice then. But, beloved, if it's not you, you want justice to be done. I love, one of my favorite books when I was going to school was The Count of Monte Cristo. Anybody ever read that besides me? Ah, come on, folks. Goodness gracious. I love that book. You know why? because justice was done. Justice was done. I love it. This past week, a group of illegal immigrants, beloved, ganged up and attacked two New York policemen. How many of y'all saw that? I mean, beloved, they beat those policemen down. Folks, New York had taken these people in. New York had given them a shelter to stay in, given them food to eat, given them all that they needed at no cost to them. Everything was free. And what did these guys do? They beat up two policemen who were trying to protect them because they were trying to break up a fight that was going on. And they jumped on them and beat them. And I mean, beloved, they kicked them, they hit them, you name it, they did it, beloved. And three of them were arrested. They went before the judge. And they were let loose without bail. Did y'all see them leaving the police station or the court? Y'all see that? Beloved, they gave the finger to New York. They gave the finger to America. To America. As they laughed, I mean laughed, at how stupid Americans are. They laughed at us. Folks, people are outraged about this because justice wasn't done. Because, beloved, they did not get what they deserved. People, beloved, love justice and they want things to be just. To be just. And if justice isn't done, beloved, people get upset. They say, that's not right. They say, that's not fair. That's one of the things my young'uns love to say more than anything else. That's not fair. What they mean is, it's not just. It's not just. Folks, that's what the tribulation is about. It's about justice being done. Justice being done. Think about this. God created and loved man. God gave them life. Breathe into their nostrils the breath of life. God gave them strength. Gave them a beautiful garden to dwell in, to live. Gave them a home. He gave them hands to work and eyes to see, beloved. He gave them, beloved, he gave them each other to love and care for. God gave them air to breathe, a world to enjoy. Everything they needed, God gave them. But man, by his own doing, disobeyed God and became fallen, became a sinner, doomed to die, condemned to hell, separated from God. But God didn't abandon them. No, he reached out, beloved, to them in love. In love. He gave them his word that they might understand God. He gave them, beloved, promises, the promise of a Savior that would come and save them from their sins. He sends that Savior, his own son, beloved. He sends him to do what? To die for their sins. To suffer and die on that cross. To pay their sin debt, that they might live eternally and have fellowship with God. He offers them grace instead of judgment through the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this God does because he loves them. And what do they do with God's love? They reject him. They reject him. They spit a upon his blood, beloved. They deny that he ever existed. They ridicule him. They blaspheme his name. They disobey him. They turn to other gods. They mock him and call him a liar and a deceiver and a fake. All this and more, beloved, they do to the one who died for them. Who died for them. Now, don't the love or that love for justice that each of us have, don't that, beloved, move you? Doesn't it cause you, beloved, to get upset and to shout, that's not right, that's not fair, that's not just? If God is just, he wouldn't let them get away with that. His wrath must fall upon them. Everything in us says that. Folks, God is just. Amen. God is just. He, beloved, he put up with their ingratitude for 2,000 years now. He put up, beloved, with their evil and wickedness, with them, beloved, in open rebellion against him, with their rejection and their disobedience, while he still, beloved, blessed them with life and family and health and all these other things. Oh, but God is just. He is just. So soon, his wrath will fall. The tribulation is coming, and they will suffer under the wrath of God for their sins against him. Against him. The tribulation is right and good. It is just. That's why, beloved, God y'all get this. You know why we're not going to be here? Because God is just. He's going to pour down his wrath upon this earth. But because he's just, he's got folks down here, the church, believers, beloved, who have not disobeyed him, who did receive Christ, who have faith, who tried to live for him and follow him. He's not going to let that wrath fall on them. He's going to take them away. The rapture's going to happen. And then, the wrath of God will fall. Then the wrath of God will fall. I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad God is just. Amen. Isn't that what? That's what Abraham was arguing. God, you're going to destroy those cities. What if there's 50 in there that are righteous? God, it's not right for you to destroy them. Will not the God, the judge of all the earth, do right? Even Abraham. He was arguing for a pre-trib rapture right there. Get them out, Lord, before you destroy that city. Third, God's wrath and judgment is good and right because through it, he will purify this earth. He, beloved, will cleanse it from evil. From evil. You see, it's right and good for God, beloved, to punish evil. Amen? But, beloved, it's also right and good for God to keep his promises. His promises to Israel and his promises to you and me. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the promises God made to Abraham that's never been fully fulfilled. Unconditional promise. The promises he's made to you and me, beloved. But to do that, to keep those promises, he has to purge the earth of sin. He has to. You see, God, beloved, has promised a kingdom on earth. How many times have we prayed that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Brethren, that prayer is going to be answered. kingdom is coming. God has promised Israel a land. He promised them a land from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River. God has promised that we, the saints, beloved, will reign with him on this earth. But beloved, to do that, he has to remove all the unbelievers. He has to break Gentile rule, beloved, that he might set up his kingdom and rule this world. How will he do that? He'll do it by pouring his wrath on all the unbelievers and by his return to this earth to set up his kingdom. Folks, you may not realize it, but when the Lord, beloved, pours his wrath out, I mean, when he breaks those seals, beloved, when those trumpets of judgment sound, when those bowls of judgment are poured out, this earth will be devastated. It'll be devastated. Billions will perish, beloved. Multitudes of billions of unbelievers. Earthquakes, beloved, will destroy cities. Asteroids, stars will fall upon the earth, wreaking havoc upon it. The earth as we know it will be destroyed. It'll be destroyed. Oh, but the moment Jesus comes back and his foot touches the Mount of Olives, brethren, the renovation begins. That moment. See, the Bible tells us when he returns, beloved, and his foot touches the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to cleave in two. A part of it is going to go to the north, part to the south, and there's going to be a deep gully. And from the throne of the temple, beloved, is going to come the waters of life. And it'll pour down, and it'll go all the way to the Dead Sea. Now, here's the thing. The Dead Sea is dead. I mean, there's nothing that lives in the Dead Sea. But beloved, when those waters reach the Dead Sea, the Bible tells us all of a sudden, it's going to just teem with life. I mean, fish like you've never seen, beloved. Going to feel that. And beloved, the Bible tells us the deserts are going to bloom. And this world is going to be renovated into a paradise. And Jesus is going to reign. And we are going to reign with him. And Israel, beloved, will get her land that God promised her. This is the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Christ will reign. And there will be peace. The wolf will lay down by the lamb, beloved. The child of prey or a play upon the cockatrice den, upon the adder's den, the snake's den, and won't be bitten. Peace and joy and singing, beloved, when Jesus sits on the throne of David. But for that to happen, his wrath must fall. It must fall. Israel must be converted. And evil, wicked, unbelievers must be removed. You can't have sinners. You can't have unbelievers in paradise. You can't have it. And that, beloved, is good and right. It's good and right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he will. Always he will do right. Folks, you don't have to question God. Not about the tribulation. Not about, beloved, the things that come in your life. Not in anything he does. Because he is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. He is good. So everything that God does and God allows is right is good. If you belong to Him, if you are saved, all you got to do is just trust Him. You don't have to understand. You don't have to understand why. And boy, I've asked why. When things come my way, I've done that. But oh, if we keep our eyes on Him, you don't have to ask why. You don't have to understand. If you understand God, you don't have to ask why. You don't have to ask why. Let His peace fill your heart. And come what may, just trust Him. Just trust Him. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here tonight. And you are facing some bad things. Maybe you're here tonight. Sorrow, sadness, trial have come your way. And you can't understand. You don't have to. All you got to remember is that God is right in all He does and all He allows. And trust Him, Christian. Just trust Him. I won't ever forget something Martha and I were going through, and I honestly thought it was going to destroy me. But I went to church. And I want to tell you, from the time Martha and I walked in that church, it won't appear, it was in Mayberry, Mount Airy. Time we walked in that church. In fact, before we walked in the door, on the sign outside, the message was right to us. We got in there, and every song that was sung, everything that happened, was God revealing Himself to us. Preacher got up to preach, and he said, God just changed my message. He said, I'm not going to preach what I was going to. And he preached a message right straight to me and Martha. And beloved, we left that church rejoicing. We left that church trusting God. Trusting God. Oh, listen. You don't have to wonder why. If you understand that God, everything He does, everything He allows, is good. Some of you may be going through trials next week or next year. I mean, trials that seem to almost crush you. Remember, if sending that tribulation on this earth is good and right, whatever God might send in your life is good and right, and all things work together for good if you love Him and are called according to His purpose. Heavenly Father, we ask You to speak to hearts. And God, help us to understand. God, help me to understand afresh and anew that the judge of all the earth will do right in everything. Father, have Your way. Minister to hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you stand with me? We invite you to come. We invite you to come. It's a great truth, folks. It's a great truth. It's a great truth. Oh, it don't seem that way to us when we look at things. But God is faithful. Always faithful. God always does that which is right. Which is right. Oh, how we can trust Him. How we can trust Him. He's never failed us yet. And He never, never will. He never will. Won't you come? Won't you come?